This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
A very pleasant good afternoon on this Wednesday, March 26th. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan, and we are out and about. We are fired up today because we're going to be celebrating the start of a brand new Nationals campaign opening day at Nats Park in D.C. tomorrow with an event at Lost Rhino Brew Pub out here in Ashburn. And we're going to be here for the duration of our program from 2 to 6:30. A great opportunity for many of you in the area if you want to come by and meet some D.C. sports dignitaries. Tressway of the Commanders is stopping by in about a half hour or so. We'll have him here from 2:30 to 3:30. During Tressway's hour, Jacob Chychrun's calling into the show, who got his 8-year extension yesterday for $72 million. So Tress, who's a Caps fan, maybe will help me tag team that interview. You'll notice that Danny's out again, that he is still sick. But here's the good news. It sounds like maybe, just maybe, we'll have him and we'll be back at full strength on the field during batting practice tomorrow for a live 90-minute show ahead of the first pitch of a new Nats season. I cannot wait for our opening day coverage, and that's why we're here today. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, the longtime voices of Nationals baseball on Nats Radio, are coming out here and hanging out with me starting at 5 o'clock today for our season preview ahead of opening day tomorrow. We'll talk through the Nats lineup, bullpen issues that could arise on the pitching staff, expectations for some of the young arms. We will cover it all with Charlie Slows, who's been calling Nats games on the radio since day one at Nats Park way back in 2005. And Dave Jagler, who joined him as a teammate in the booth 1 year later, cannot wait to chat with those two guys today. So great show planned for you. Again, we're live all day long. Come on out. Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn as they unveil their brand new IPA out here, the Hittin' Dingers delicious drink that they are rolling out today ahead of the brand new Nats baseball season. But I actually want to start on the ice because last night the Great Eight got one step closer to Wayne Gretzky as Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals were skating north of the border. Later night caps, not quite late night caps, 8 o'clock start time, but a little later than they're normally playing with 4 minutes to go. Goal number 889, now just 5 back of Gretzky. Ovechkin is 6 goals from hockey immortality.
Coming back near wall. The tie up in the hash mark. Protas weak side. Ovechkin, he scores! Alex Ovechkin scores from the left dot! This game is tied, and Ovechkin picks one up here in Winnipeg. It's goal 8-8-9. He needs 5 to tie. He needs six to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. An electrifying moment here in downtown Winnipeg. Ovechkin draws one closer.
What a call by John Walton, as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. So a couple of things about the goal last night. First, now that we're in the single digits of the countdown, you're starting to see in these buildings that the fans, even of the opposing teams, and last night's a big hockey game, best team in the West, best team in the East, seventh time ever that this late in the season, the two best teams in the sport with top three offense and defenses met. And in Winnipeg, fans came to their feet to give Ovechkin the standing ovation after his goal. You go into the game wanting him to score on your ice against your own team. We are there now because the visiting fans want to see history. And if you showed up in Winnipeg last night, you knew you weren't going to see him break the record, but you could see him get one goal closer. So I think it's pretty cool now that we've reached the point of this chase where even the fans rooting against the Capitals want Ovi to score. And in that moment, if you ask Jets fans, hey, you're up by a goal, there's 4 minutes left, Ovi can score, and you got to go to overtime, or Ovi could not score, which would you rather have? I bet you a lot of the fans in that barn wearing Jets jerseys would have said, let's see an Ovi goal. You could see it by their reaction. But what he's doing is astounding at 39 years old. He came into the season, remember this, he needed 42 goals at the beginning of the year when this whole thing started. At the beginning of the year at 39, in an age where nobody scores 40 goals, he needed 42 to break the record. And everybody said, well, thank God he's got 2 years left on his contract. Because he's not going to do it this year. But over the next two seasons, scores 25 this year, 20 next year, maybe 15 next year, he'll break the record. He'll be there. He's got a chance to mess around and get it done right here and right now. 11 games left and six to go. And I just want to reiterate that he missed 16 games with a broken bone in his leg this year. And he came back like nothing had ever happened. Like I come back from a cold. You know, like you go home and you tell your wife after the day at the at work, you go, you know, lunch didn't really sit well. I didn't feel great. I'm going to take a little nap and maybe we'll, watch the TV show tonight. You just stay in bed. The next morning you wake up like nothing happened. That's how Ovi responded to breaking his leg this season. Just came back on a heater in year 20 in the National Hockey League, and we've just been so spoiled. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I really feel this way. I was kind of in my feels watching him last night, and I'm like, what a gift it has been of all the times to be alive on this spinning rock, to get his entire career in my home market, to be from the DMV, to care so much about this team, to have had him drafted at a time when I was a huge fan in, at that point, I guess, early high school. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I knew this was the Russian player that they said was going 1-1 that everybody wanted. That's as far as I kind of went with my Alex Ovechkin knowledge. But as a sports fan, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. He's changed my existence. He's changed my life. And for so many of us, he's changed this city. The amount of kids, like my 4-year-old now that's skating at the St. James that wants to play hockey as he's out there in his Ovi sweater, that didn't exist when I was growing up. The first time I ever went on ice, I was 13 years old at a birthday party. I drove 35 minutes from my house. That was the first time I ever put ice skates on. Didn't know what I was doing, falling all over the place. Now, there's 40 kids, my boy's age, 4 and 5 years old, wearing cap stuff, skating around, falling all over the place like ducks trying to walk over at the St. James. And it's maybe not all because of, but it's mostly because of Alex Ovechkin. But the goal last night, beautiful time. The Caps ended up losing what was a tremendous hockey game. They outshot Winnipeg 29-25, but they get a point on the road against one of the best home teams and the best team in the West, second best team in the NHL, you know, because the Capitals are the best team in the NHL. So they'll take the point and they'll move on. But the story was Ovi with a goal. And can I just say, how about the pass from Alexi Protas? Remember when Alexi Protas wasn't a star last year? What happened? Who is this man? It's incredible what has transpired with this player that was very average last season. Struggled to skate with any kind of speed. Earlier this season, actually, we had Jacob Chychrun on the show. And Chick, you signed yesterday, is going to be with us at 3 o'clock today on the phone here in 50 minutes. And we'll get to celebrate his new contract. But Chychrun said, whatever Protas did this offseason, we need to hire the people he worked with and bring them in to work with all of us this offseason. And I couldn't agree with that more. The growth he's made, as we're getting ready to talk about the Nats today, That's what the Nationals need from their young guys, their Abrams, their Cruz, their Wood. That gigantic leap that elevates the entire tide of your organization that they've gotten from Protas, who's on the precipice now of 30 goals. He's got 29. But just a ridiculous pass after winning a battle on the boards to Ovechkin. And I thought that goal was symbolic, too, from this perspective. At the start of the season, it felt like the Ovechkin goal chase, the Gretzky hunt, so to speak, was going to happen in the woods without anybody knowing it was going to take place. Because as we saw last year, Washington had a scratch and claw to make the playoffs. I mean, they got in on the final night with a minus 40 almost goal differential. Really didn't have any business being in the playoffs, but it was fun. They get a first-round series. They get swept out by the Rangers, and you know the whole thing ends quickly. But it did feel like going into this year, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't. At least we'll have the chase. But it's probably going to be the story on an otherwise pretty mediocre-ish team. But there is now a symbiotic nature to Ovi's chase and the quality of this team. A harmony and a unison and a concert that those two things are working in, where I think the symbolism of last night was Ovi's goal was massive. They're playing in this huge game with 4 minutes left, and he ties the game. He, look at his third period numbers this year. Over and over again has done this. But because the team has been so good, their offense has been awesome, they're getting career years from so many guys, the kids that I mentioned broke out, it has allowed Ovechkin to have more opportunities, not only on the power play, but at even strength, to get more shots, to score more goals. And Ovi's unbelievable season, he's top four in the league in goals, despite missing almost a quarter of the year, is one of the reasons why they are overachieving to the extent that they have, and they've become a juggernaut again. So they're really working in unison in a way that I don't think anybody anticipated when the year began. But it's been a real pleasure to watch all season long. Ovi's hunt continues as he is now just five back of Gretzky, six from the record with 11 to play. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about it feeling like if he went another game or two without a goal, maybe being the first time this season since he got hot where you said it might be next year. But with another goal, this is how quickly it happens in hockey. Now he just needs the six with 11 games. He's a multi-goal game away at any point from it feeling like a formality. Now, quirky sport. He could go 2-3 games without a goal, which for him is like 10 for a normal person. And if that were to be the case, then all of a sudden the chances of him doing it are pretty slim. But I would bet on it right now. And if you got tickets to one of those home games at Capital One Arena, you might have a big decision to make coming up. If you're a Caps fan, I think it's an easy decision because you'll want to be there. But the amount that these tickets are going to be going for to the remaining home games, there's only three of their final nine in April that are going to be at home. It'll be the most expensive ticket to a regular season sporting event in this city, perhaps in history. I would imagine there's never been a $1,000 regular season ticket, you know, get-in price on average for anything that's happened here. I can tell you it doesn't happen for the Nationals. Certainly it didn't happen for the Caps. The only thing, you guys would have to tell me if you were RFK people with the Redskins, but it was so long ago that $1,000 then was like a, what does that translate to, right? I got to imagine it'll be the biggest get-in price for a regular season game in the city's history. So should be really, really fun. Pivoting to football really quickly to close in on our Tressway conversation, starting in a little bit. Every now and then I think it's important now that the Commanders are considered good and coming off of an outstanding year and we're out of the bucket of teams that get made fun of all the time, just to take inventory on how good it feels that we're not one of the terrible teams anymore. Like, imagine waking up a Giants fan today. The Giants, these silly geese, 4 days ago signed Jameis Winston, which is just an unserious thing to do. Now, Jameis Winston's hilarious, and I love him, and I want him to be an analyst on Fox Sports for years to come, and I'll laugh at everything he does. But the thing I don't want him to do is quarterback my football team at any point ever. But they signed him, and the thought was, well, maybe he'll be their starter, even though he got backup money. 4 days later, they did a less serious thing. They signed Russell Wilson to be their starter in 2025, the year of our Lord. Not 15 years ago. Not when this guy was like good at football, 10 Pro Bowl, Super Bowl title. He is on a tour right now of trying to play for as many teams as possible. So the Seahawks, 1 year with the Broncos, 1 year with the Steelers, 1 year with the Giants. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, when Russell Wilson in his final year with Seattle played really poorly, and it wasn't his fault. And then he went to Denver and he played really poorly and everyone thought Sean Payton was the biggest jerk in the world. And then he went to Pittsburgh and actually started out okay, but it bombed out. The idea of him starting for your team, while a better option than any of the others that they had yesterday, it's the Argo scenario. If you remember the old Academy Award-winning film directed by my guy Ben Affleck, who makes nothing but bangers as a director, by the way. Great movie. The best of all the bad ideas is what they call Argo. Russell Wilson's probably that. But my God, are you signing up for six wins with a quarterback room of Wilson and Jameis and Tommy DeVito? That's the most hilarious trio of quarterbacks you could possibly assemble. I saw a graphic floating around on the internet that I thought was great, which was the quarterback billboard for the Netflix documentary series. And they're doing a second one this year. The first one, you remember, was Mahomes and Cousins and Mariota. It was just a great series where they followed those guys around, showed games and highlights, and then behind-the-scenes stuff on the family front. Well, you could just do a quarterback series on this QB room, and it would be better than anything that you would do with three random quarterbacks from around the league. Because you've got Wilson, who is, while a really nice guy and like a good human being by all counts, former Walter Payton Man of the Year, just kind of cheesy and, he's wholesome in a very positive way, but he's one of these dudes where he doesn't know the video he just posted is not being laughed at because it's funny. It's being laughed at because it's kind of like cringeworthy. So you've got him, and then you've got Jameis, who's going to be scratching and clawing and fighting with him to give the speeches pregame. And then DeVito, who's like their Taylor Heineke, who fans can't get enough of and fall all over themselves to support because he played like three mediocre games that one time. And he's got an agent that dresses funny. It's such a bad quarterback situation. And it just reminds me of what used to be here. We've had some of those. Not like three cast of characters like this where you could do an office sitcom. But the Heineke, Wentz, whatever else was on the depth chart then stuff. Was that a Sam Howell or was there a Kyle Allen in there or something? I mean, there have been so many bad quarterback rooms here that when I see something like this, you get a little bit of that PTSD where you go, whew, those were bad times. Only 30 years of them. But it's over here. You got your guy. You got your answer. Jaden Daniels will be here. But it feels to me going into next year like a two-horse race in the division still, where the Eagles will be the heavy favorites, understandably. They've lost a lot this offseason, but until Washington proves that they've closed the gap after giving up 55 in the NFC title game, the Eagles should be considered the top team in the NFC East. And then you've got the Commanders as hard chargers. Not really sure what to expect because there's been a lot of changeover for them as well. When you have 28 free agents, the chemistry of the locker room, which was their greatest asset last year, the Dan Quinn brotherhood, I don't have my bell here, but the brotherhood for DQ kind of was as valuable as anything not named Jaden Daniels in the whole organization. Thank you, Dad. Appreciate you. Got to have the brotherhood bell ready at all times with Dan Quinn. Thank you. Brotherhood. Brotherhood? Yeah, there it is. Okay, thank you. But I think we're in a good place where the Giants will not be competitive enough to be a factor, and they have secured that with their quarterback decisions. And the Cowboys are regressing and getting older. I think they'll be fine, but Washington and Philly are head and shoulders better than both of those two teams. And the Giants are going into a lame duck season for their GM and head coach. They'll probably have to fire Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, for that matter, former coach of the year, who's gone in the wrong direction since. So they'll be in the hunt for a GM and a head coach. And the question is, do they draft Shedeur Sanders at three and add him and cut DeVito and then have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Shedeur Sanders? That just got funnier as a quarterback room. The only college player who's ever done his own, podcast live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Just a lot of dudes who get a lot of attention, which isn't always a great thing in the same room. Big time egos all together in one quarterback setting. But Wilson and Winston, man. The Giants are just like, let's throw some QBs at the wall and see what sticks. All right, Tress Way is stopping by the show coming up at 2:30. Tress Way will be with us to discuss all things Commanders. And then on the other side of that, we've got a season preview of Nats baseball from 5 to 6:30 today with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. We're live in Ashburn. You can come hang out with us, be a part of the broadcast, Lost Rhino Brew Pub. Grant and Danny, no Danny on the fan.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Out in Ashburn at Lost Rhino Brewpub, 5 o'clock, our Nats season preview kicks off. We're celebrating the release of the Hitting Dingers IPA that they've got out here at Lost Rhino Brewpub in Ashburn. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan, and we are joined now by longtime friend of the program, the people's punter, really the holder for the Washington Commanders, Tressway. It is good to see you, brother.
You too,
man. We've been talking about for like a year. We're like, we got to get together.
Yes.
We'll get you some wings, get a beer. I texted you a couple days ago. I'm like, you know, we're coming out your way.
You did.
So I'm glad that we could put this thing together to celebrate the return of Tressway after your new one-year deal.
You're crazy.
You're back for another year.
Back for another year.
Longest tenured member of the organization.
12, man. We met my rookie year.
That's right.
12 years. That's pretty awesome.
That was like 3.5 kids ago for me, right?
Yeah.
Half, not because we have half of a child, but because we have a fourth on the way.
I'd like to hear
point.
The science behind that.
Yes. Yeah. There's a fourth on the way. It's got a few months left of development.
All right. There you go.
And then it'll be here. But and mortgages and cars and a lot of kids for you and a marriage as well.
Yeah.
But you're all grown up, and you are – I was just talking to you. You're one of the reps for the club that has to go and basically hear what the union thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then report back to other players.
Yeah.
Because you're a responsible guy that can be trusted.
Thank you.
With such matters.
Thank you.
Normally, they send you to random cities.
Correct.
It's like, I got to go here.
Yeah.
Where were you this past trip?
Well, they've really focused on getting the attendance up. And they were like, well, what can we do to really ensure that guys get there? And so they offered to fly you and your family to the meetings and put you up in the hotel for the week. And they offered up Maui this year. So attendance was 100%. We did a survey at the end, and it said, hey, how much did the location affect, like, you coming to the meetings? And it was like 1 to 10. And I was like, I was going to come regardless. I'm the voter. Like, I'm going to go. But if they're asking just in case they're thinking next year, I'm going to go ahead and put 10. Like, let's be honest here. So it was unreal, man.
Maybe that's what they've got to do annually. The combine every year is in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there are these – used to be that the NFL draft was at – Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah, every year.
Maybe these union meetings have to be in Maui.
You know what's a shame is that I could have put that in motion and we could have voted on that right there.
You should have.
And it just
slammed the gavel.
That's a freaking missed opportunity right there.
Yeah, I needed you to work on that. but the off season for you. So was there ever a time when you thought maybe you weren't coming back? How does that work? Or is it as simple as they'll get to me?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be here.
Yeah.
They want me here. Because every time we'd go through our list of free agents of who needs to come back and who doesn't, it's so obvious when you've got a really good punter you don't have to worry about. But it's also not a thing where if you want to be here, it's not like you're just going to like call Adam Peters and be like, just sign with the Bears, man. Sorry about your luck. So like, how did the process go?
Yeah, yeah. So whenever we had the whole change, the whole regime change going into this year, I was going into the last year of my contract, and oldest player on the team, been here a long time, have just freaking loved it and don't want to play anywhere else. And going into this last season, I was like, man, you know, like, I don't know how to necessarily approach this. Like, do I approach this like this is my last season here? Like, because, hey, you know, at some point, I hope it's not for a while, but at some point somebody else is going to have to punt for Washington. Like, I will have to dip out at some point.
Well, but I've actually raised the idea that when you're done, we just don't punt anymore. But you know how you retire jerseys?
Yeah.
We're going to retire the position.
Well, and like
just,
you know,
go for all the fourth downs like we're Holy Cross.
Yeah, and like honestly, if we have to throw in like the little sneaky fake punts, I can try and convert that way as well instead of giving them. Now,
2 for 2, 38 yards in your career.
I'm 3 for 3.
I've got you 2 for 2 on Pro Football Reference.
It's incorrect.
Really?
Ask me my stats. I will give better stats than anything you find online. They may not be accurate, but this one is. 3 for 3.
Hold on.
I threw a fade against the Giants in 2015. Threw an out route to Quentin Dunbar. Quentin Dunbar came in as a wide receiver, couldn't catch so bad that they moved him to DB. Yeah, let's throw a fake punt to him. Let's give him a shot.
Okay, so who were you playing in that game?
We were playing the Giants at MetLife.
Was that Puma?
That was Puma.
Puma Let's Rage.
Yes. And
okay.
Colorado was against the Eagles out route in 2018 at home. We were eliminated, but it was a night game, and threw an out route against the Eagles to J.U. Chesson. And then,
okay, I only remember that because that name, that's not a name I've ever thought of for one other second otherwise, with all due respect to the Chessons.
Yes, and so, and then obviously to Ben.
Oh, you know what? Okay, so here's what happened. I guarantee
postseason.
Exactly. 2 for 2 for 38 yards.
That's fair.
Is going to be your regular season stats.
Yeah. Because
whenever season is quantified differently.
I think I talk about my stats like 3 or 4 times a day to like different people whoever's willing to listen. So that's fair. I never talk about my postseason stats.
All right. So Darius, give me a little game show music. I was going to save this for later in our sit down in our
so
hour
we're there,
together.
We're there now.
But we've already gotten here. So I want to quiz Tress Way on his own career a little bit, and you're kind of sticking your chest out.
No, I'm not. But
you're telling me you know your numbers.
Oh, I was going to say, I just leaned up to take a sip of the new beer. So.
Oh, well, and how is it?
Phenomenal.
Yeah?
I'm a big hazy IPA guy.
Hitting dingers,
the only thing
baby.
I'm nervous about is this microphone sounds super clear, so I may be burping up hitting dingers into the mic.
Yeah, and those are the dingers you hit after you drink it on air, I think. Yeah. All right, but I didn't know if you were a guy that like knew the back of your baseball card.
I do not.
It sounds like you might.
Well, listen,
you got some
whenever
pretty distinct memories of these fake
the
punts.
Fake punts, yes, I do, because I'm a punter, and I get a chance to throw the ball. So, yeah, I rewatch those at least 3 or 4 times a day.
All right. How many punts have you had blocked in your career?
One is too many, but I'll say 3.
On the nose. 3 blocked punts.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.
I could probably remember all of them, too, going back. But
all right, give me
them.
Let's hear them.
Got one blocked against Dallas because Dallas scored on offense, defense, and special teams of that game.
Oh, I remember that game.
Just the waxing was just – that was terrible.
That wasn't the, like, 800-7 game at their place, was it?
Yes, it was.
I don't want to talk anymore about that.
Horrible.
Go to the next one.
My first game ever in the NFL against the Houston Texans at Houston 2014 blocked.
Really?
Yep. Alfred Ballou running back, up and under, boom, blocked.
That was week one.
Week one.
Yeah.
My first game.
I think that was Jay's Gruden's first game
it
ever,
was.
Too.
It was. Yes.
Okay.
And then, crap. Oh, and then Dallas 2 years ago. Freaking Dallas.
What are we doing here?
It's Dallas. Well, Fossil's gone now. He's a great coordinator. He's in Tennessee, so just go.
All right. Your longest punt distance and against what team?
79 against the New York Giants.
I've got 79 against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, it is the Panthers.
79 yards. He knew it, though.
Oh, it was 77 against the Giants.
You're on a heater right
now.
Dadgummit. 77 is number 2 on the list.
Yes.
And that was year one.
Yeah.
All right. This one's fun. I'm excited about this one. How many career rushing yards do you have?
Oh, crap. I didn't make it.
Over, under, 0.5.
Over, under? It was under. I got tackled behind the line of scrimmage, I think. Is it negative?
I've got you at 2 rushing yards in your career.
I see. I crossed the line of scrimmage. Didn't get the first down.
How about that?
The St. Louis Rams. Whenever I tell some of my young teammates I played against the St. Louis
that
Rams.
That makes you sound so old.
Dude, I told one of my buddies, I was like, I used to sit here and talk with D. Hall all the time. And, like, he was just good. And I said, like, something cool that D. Hall used to do. And one of my teammates goes, dude, you play with D. Hall? I was just like, yeah, man. And he looked at me and goes, how old are you?
That means you're old now? I guess that's true.
I was like, that backfired. I was just like, he's going to think this is cool.
He's a DB's coach now, so I guess that's a thing. That is, to me, as a sports fan, one of the things that dates you. There's really two. Now that I'm in my I'm an old guy. Mid-30s, right?
Oh, yeah. Samesies.
All right. So I think what are you?
I'm turning 35 in 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm older than you. You're such a young guy.
Thank
you. I'm 36.
See?
All right. So the point of the dude's story is, though, when a junior of a player I loved is now playing, and this is a thing in baseball, I'll just tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like,
yes.
No, man. Your dad was my guy.
That's like, right.
You can't
That's
be
right.
here yet.
Isn't there a young Biggio playing right now, too?
Kevin Biggio.
Yeah.
Every Blue Jay player, Bo Bichette.
Bichette.
You know, it's Dante Bichette's kid.
Yeah.
But when the kid of the player that I like discard, that I pretended to be him in my yard,
you're there, man.
I might as well be 100.
Are you starting to say these kids? Like, I find myself saying that with college games now. I'm like,
totally.
These kids have it made.
Well,
look
the
at
kid
these
that
kids.
Hit the kid. Here we go. The kid that hit the game winner for Maryland the other night. His name's Derek Queen. He's a freshman. Somehow he's 20. I thought he would have been 18, but he looks 12.
Yes.
He has braces. He's got, you know, a couple of pimples on his
12.
Face. And so he started talking after the game. It's a true story. And they're like, Derek, you hit the game winner, whatever. And he starts talking. And it was like my son was talking. Like, he's four. But and I thought about it. He is closer to my son's age than he is my age.
Yeah.
And I said, I looked over at my wife. I'm like, this is just a boy.
We're there, man.
He's so young, this
We're there.
Boy.
Just
and like,
accept it.
5 minutes earlier, I'm just killing him. I'm like, get to the rim, you moron. And then he starts talking. And I'm like, he's just a sweet boy.
Yes.
This is just someone's kid.
Yes.
All right. I got another one for
all
you.
All right.
By the way, two career rushing yards for Tress Weah.
Yep,
I didn't
two.
Hear it. Two career rushing yards.
Yeah.
Huh?
Almost fumbled.
Next stop.
Almost fumbled.
Franchise record. Look out, Riggins and company. All right. 776 career punts.
Right. Kay.
776. How many career tackles? And would there ever be, like, did you do kickoffs a couple times? Is there another reason where you could have made a tackle? Or is it just those 776 punts? Because I'm assuming they never lined you up at safety for a play.
There's been a couple of times when somebody's busted open on like a fade down the sideline, or like when Saquon took off down the sideline, I thought maybe I could get on the not top 10 if I just smoke him when he's
do
not
the Mike
looking.
Tomlin thing
just
where
come
you like,
yeah,
come
just,
out and trip him?
Yeah. All right. The fun fact in there is one of those on Monday Night Football against Dallas, I got the Tostitos crunch of the game because I flipped Lucky Whitehead like upside down.
Let's go.
On a tackle.
Do you get anything? Like a box of...
I thought I would.
A shipment of a bunch of Tostitos?
Like golden Tostitos.
Right.
You know, something
just
cool.
Just a bag that no one's ever had. It's
sealed
just so.
I'll shoot him an email.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, thank you.
We got people for that.
All right, I'm going to go... I'll go four.
Nine.
What?
Nine career tackles for this guy.
Look out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, thank you. Man, the gallery here.
London Fletcher.
Yeah, everybody. I tell you, I mean, what is it, quadruple threat now? Run,
pass.
Tackle, and punt?
No, well,
I
forgot.
Can hold.
That's true. Hold.
Golly.
All right, last one.
All right.
This one I think you should know.
Okay.
How many Player of the Week awards have you won?
No,
Special Teams Player of the Week.
All right. 1 and 19. No, 1 and 18, 1 and 19, 2 and 20, 1 and 23. I'm going five.
Five is correct. The five times Special Teams Player
you
of
know,
the Week.
Do you know the fun fact on that?
I do
is
not.
That I have had better performances in games, but you have to win to get that award. So,
oh, no way.
If Burrow goes out and throws for 450 and four tugs, if the Bengals lose, he doesn't get AFC Player of the Week.
Is that a real thing?
You have to win.
Well, that's very stupid.
Your team has to win.
That's really dumb. It's an individual award.
Yeah. I think like technically like two or three of my best games, if you will, of just averages and inside the 20s, like we lost by a field goal or something like that. And
so am I wrong in saying, statistically speaking, the thing that I would imagine you care a lot about is inside the 20?
Percentage.
Percentage.
Yes.
And then not touchbacks.
Yeah.
More, I mean, maybe your average. I don't know if that, how could that matter? Because you don't know where you're trying to punt to.
That's the biggest thing is like the net average is what gets you into the Pro Bowl every year, but your inside the 20 percentage will show just like, so my favorite place to punt from is from the minus 35 yard line because you can just cut it loose for 50.
All right. So remember this, guys. So that means the offense is around midfield.
I have videos of my buddies, like, filming me, like, getting ready to punt. And, like, it'll be one of the wives, like, filming my buddy. And it falls on the minus 36. This is the go zone. And it's just because if I hit a touchback.
Do you mean if you're standing there or do you mean when the offense is there?
Balls on the mid-30s. You can just cut it loose.
So you want a first down on, like, an 11-yard pass to McLaurin and then three straight runs for zero.
Well,
and you're running out there to
here's the deal. I love to punt. I understand that we don't want to punt.
You guys you didn't like to do it very much this past year.
That was crazy this year. Cliff was the bomb. He'd be like, Tris, how many times you punt this game? I was like, I had one. He's like, oh, that's my bad.
Had to call him and have him on the show just to make sure he was still on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a couple of weeks where we just weren't sure anymore.
I was in the hotel in Arizona, and we were talking. I was like, yeah, I popped up, grabbed a pretzel, and popcorn got a little slippery to hold. I got nervous, so yeah.
No TV time for you this season. Tress Weah, multi-time Pro Bowler, is with us. We are live today out at Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn. He's hanging out on Grant and Danny. Lost Rhino Brewpub, the site of today's show, and we are here for the unveiling of the Hitting Dingers IPA that Tress has just enjoyed. We need to get you another one.
I was about to ask, what is the policy on a reload of the Dinger?
I think the policy is we just keep them coming. Megan's got you.
The Hitting Dingers IPA is what I was talking about.
They are going to bring another one your way, Tress.
Thank you.
The Commander's Punter is hanging out with us on Grant and Danny. So you're a longtime big sports fan.
Yes.
Came up playing other sports than football. We talk hockey all the time. In fact, Jacob Chickert of the Capitals is calling in top of the hour at 3 o'clock after his new contract, so Tress will hang out and we'll chat with him. But I bring this up to say, big baseball fan.
Yes.
But your allegiances, as you've gotten a little older, have had to change.
It has.
Because you've married into the Brewers family at this point.
I did. We early in my career here, we were frequent Nats games visitors, had the Nats gear. My brother-in-law, who is the baby of the family, my wife's one of five, he is the youngest. He's the only boy. He was a first-round pick in 2018 out of high school to the Brewers, and he was the gold glove and platinum glove winner last year for the Milwaukee Brewers at second base. The dude can play some baseball. So we are Brew Crew due to blood. But we go, like, whenever they come play the Nats this summer, we go every year. And, we're Brew Crew, man.
He can run, too.
Oh.
For those of you that don't know, Bryce Terang, so the gold glover at second, as you mentioned, but he stole over 50 bags last year for the Brewers at the major league level. So, I mean, are you guys, what's that like? Because for your wife now, she's got the NFL season where she's obviously at games and locked in. Her husband, this is her whole life, right?
Yes.
But then a lot of loved ones get a reprieve in the offseason.
Yes.
It's just getting going. And now her brother, and you're living and dying with every at-bat.
Yeah.
Do you guys actually lock in on every game, or
every
is it
game.
Not that serious?
Every game. So early in his career, he would platoon. And so he hits lefty. So he would only play when a righty was pitching. And then he just was so great and doing so great. It was like, all right, you're our starter. Like, you're going, batting a lot of leadoff, stealing bags, all that. We have, first of all, as you know, they play so many freaking games.
It's like, crazy, dude.
It's my wife, like, Brie will ask me, she's like, hey, is Bryce playing today? And I always say, probably. Like,
is there a day happening?
Yeah.
So that's the thing about baseball. Because, like, people will joan a little bit about the physicality or whatever. But I think there's just a lack of understanding of – now, I am a disgusting person, obviously. Just a really out-of-shape person. But standing up and waking up and just living is taxing. You know what I'm saying? Now, imagine standing on a baseball field for 4 hours in the sun and do it every single day in the summer when it's 104 degrees and then do 3 weeks in a row without a day off.
Yeah.
And by the way, these guys, as you know, they don't just – the game's at 7:05. We'll be there at 6:57. They get there at 1.
Yes.
And then they're doing batting practice. Infield. Club, and then they're – the amount of stuff that players – I even think it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like the Nats is an example. They play 800 spring training games.
Yeah.
Probably unnecessary.
Yeah.
They come back, and they have 2 days before opening day, and they fit in an exhibition against the Orioles.
Yeah.
It just all seems like we could probably scale it back a little bit.
He is the dude is a freak of nature. And the fun part is like, so we've got – it's four girls and then the boy. The three oldest girls have all married. They all married Oklahoma guys. And so my brother-in-law is –
like Oklahoma natives or Oklahoma athletes?
Natives, and then
like
we
Sooners.
All played – not Sooners, but we all played collegiately. We all did something collegiately in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And so when we go out to the West Coast and, like, we're – like, and Bryce is there, and we always play wiffle ball on the beach. And we're always having fun. The kids are around. But it's just, like, all of us, we're all older than Bryce, and we're just like, we got freaking take him. This is it. We got to, like
– this time we get him.
He is the guy. We got to take him down.
So you're watching most nights.
Yeah.
But would you consider, like, there are super fans of the Commanders here and everywhere else that'll come up and get your autograph. Would you consider yourself, like, a huge Brewers fan? When they lose, you're sad, or is it more just...
Playoffs, we were bummed.
Yeah.
Like, but, and also, too, man, like, it, and this sounds funny, obviously, like, he's my brother-in-law. I love him. I care about him. I've never played professional baseball, but I just know how he feels throughout a professional sports season. And I don't know how he feels physically, because as a sometimes punter and mostly holder, I get to chill a lot. But, like, the mental grind, all the stuff, like, I know how he feels. And so that emotion of being with the guys and knowing you're making it to the playoffs or winning your division. And then – so that's, like, that's the stuff you kind of get built up on. I do find myself being in a better mood when he has a really good day at the plate. It's just like, well, how about that? He was 3-for-4. Like,
right.
My day is going pretty good right now.
So I – this is like one of those sit with your buddy, have a beer conversations. It's funny to have it with an athlete in a professional sport. But if you could be a professional athlete in any sport, what would you want to be? And in your case, I'm going to take you out of the punting role.
Yes.
And I'm going to, like, you could pick, like, what is the best position?
I could go back to football?
Yeah, but non-quarterback. So, okay. Like, what would you want to be?
Do I have to pick football? You're asking me for football?
That's the first question. Then we'll get to all the sports.
Okay.
If you weren't a punter, what would you, like, you're a star.
And I can't pick, I'm 3 for 3. I can't pick quarterback?
No, because everyone would pick quarterback.
Okay.
It's a, I mean, you don't want to
tight end.
You don't want to get the $300 million deal that Jaden's about to get?
No, that'd be awesome. That'd be sweet.
You might like that.
Yeah. I'll go tight end.
Ooh, I love that.
I feel like there's just something like cool masculine about tight end.
I agree with that.
Is he blocking? Is he catching? I don't know, but he can do both. And I would like that.
And you're kind of a tight end size in terms of like height.
I am not. Thank you. But
you don't think so?
Have you seen me stand next to John Bates or Zach Ertz?
Well, I'm thinking more height. You'd have to like refigure the body a little bit, probably.
I think that they are both 4 or 5 inches taller than I am and close to 60 pounds heavier.
Aren't you 6'2"?
But you're close.
6'3"?
I'm 6'2", and I'm like 205.
Okay.
And those guys are probably 260 or so,
right.
And 6'6". No,
we would clearly need to get in the weight room a little bit. Like, I'm not suggesting you walk out there and you're just putting Myles Garrett on his butt.
No, it's okay. When I see DQ, I'm going to be like, listen, I was talking to Grant. He thinks I could do some tight end.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right, so then you're a tight end.
Yes.
Or you could be famous as a great player in the NBA.
Oh, fame
the
comes
NHL,
into play?
And Major League Baseball.
So by fame, that
lifestyle
means I'm good.
Yeah, oh, you're a superstar.
Well,
I'm going to say fringe Hall of Famer. You don't know if you're going to get in or not, but you have the credentials to possibly get in.
All right. Well, my favorite sport my whole life has been baseball.
Okay.
But now that you're talking about it, it kind of makes me think golf, but I'm for sure picking ping pong.
Oh, wow. So we're going just off the grid.
I'm there.
Okay. You don't worry about the fact that being good at ping pong gives you, like, no...
You said I have fame.
You do?
So that means I would walk into Los Rhino, and they'd be like, there's Tressway, the ping pong player.
Well, I can...
Have you ever...
Nobody
would ever said that to anybody?
No, because even if you were the most famous ping pong player in the world, not one person here would know it.
Yes, you would. You're the most famous... The fame...
Does anyone here know who the most famous ping pong player is now?
But that's not a fair question, because fame is built on if people know you. So, like, I would be able to be like... Yes, this is me.
Oh, you've got me twisted into a logical pretzel. So, can we acknowledge, though?
I'm just kidding. I would do baseball.
That being a ping pong player.
I would do baseball for sure. Third base.
We should then talk, much to the chagrin of our buddy, Chris Russell, at some point.
Yes.
About the fact that you are not only a great ping pong player, but you played in the locker room.
Yes.
And he has wanted that ping pong table removed for many, many years, as you know. Because did you guys have a ping pong playing tournament and table this year?
There is no chance I'm answering that question right now. I know Chris is going to listen to this. So
we could just debunk this forever. You guys were in the NFC Championship game.
And
was any ping pong played this year?
I'm sorry. I can't wait to talk to Chris another time, and he can ask me about it, and we'll see how it goes.
Remember,
let's just say I still hold my title, and then we could take that for whatever it's worth.
I think his logic is the lily pads he leaped from are – that if you guys are doing any kind of non-football activity in the locker room at any point, you're not taking your job seriously enough.
Correct. And
love
you to
can't
follow,
possibly win a football game.
I would love to follow him around for a day of his work.
Trust me, you wouldn't.
In any personal moment, I'd just be like, yo, come on. lock back
in. Radio, you got a show in 14 hours.
Yep. When's the next award coming out? You better be on the finalist list. Let's do it.
Yeah. Jacob Chychrun of the Caps signed a new deal. 8 years, $72 million.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Signed it yesterday. He joins us next on Grant and Danny. Tressway is hanging out. We are at the Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn. We will be here until 6:30.
Hitting dingers.
Remember, Charlie and Dave celebrating the start of a brand new Nats season. We'll be hanging out here from 5 to 6 plus tonight. So we hope to see you. This is The Fan.